Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you. Are you ready for springtime? I suppose, yes. I came of age in the 1960s. It was pretty common at that time that teenage boys could tell you the name of every car, make, and model that came off the assembly line in Detroit. I could tell you about the Chevy Corvette, the Plymouth Barracuda, the Ford Mustang. I could even tell you engine sizes of cars. The Chevy Super Block V8 409 engine. And there were even my favorite bands sang a song about that 409. Now, I promised Rayanne I would not sing that Beach Boys song, but let me see if I can just get a memory going. 409, 409, she's so fine, my 409. Have you ever had the Beach Boys sung up here in the past? Well, that may not have been a great rendition of 409, but what I think is important for me to share that my mother was a city woman, but had an infinity for nature, for God's creation. And she would say to me, "But Jim, can you name the trees? Can you name the birds? Do you know the things that God made, Jim? Do you understand them?" And I would tell you my love of nature to this very day, that's where I trace it. I trace it to a mother that said, "Be still, son." That's where I would say I've learned to be still. It's in those places. It's been in nature. It's seeing the clouds in the sky. I remember my mother saying, "Jim, what do you see in that cloud? What does that cloud remind you of?" I still do those things today. I'm not able to see a sunrise or a sunset without thinking about my mother. I can remember being in far distant places, being at college, being in the army, getting phone calls from my mother. She lived on a lake, and she had the most beautiful sunsets. And she would call and say, "Jim, you can't believe what I'm watching right now as the sun sets." And no matter what I was doing, wherever I was, there was a sense, "Jim, be still." In scriptures, we find over and over again that Jesus would go into the wilderness. I'm going to share scripture from the psalm this morning, Psalm 46, if anybody would like to follow with me. The psalmist writes, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty God is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.'" Here's a quote that really touches me. It connects to me. John Muir: "I only went for a walk, and I finally concluded to stay out till sundown. For going out, I found I was really going in. The psalmist speaks to our fears and our anxieties, the things we do not know, the failings of our own humanity. We have learned to master the art of distraction, even deception. Our gadgets, they aid us. In today's world, many of us are forever plugged in, tuned out. Richard Louv, in his book, Last Child in the Woods, quotes a fourth grader, "I like to play indoors better, because that's where all the electrical outlets are." Steve Jobs, it's a name synonymous with cutting-edge innovation and groundbreaking technology. So it may come as a surprise to learn that the Apple CEO didn't believe in letting his kids use some of that innovative technology. There were no iPhones, no iPads that were used in the Jobs house. He's quoted to have said, "We limit how much technology we allow our kids to use in the home." Be still, know that I am God. So how do we learn to be still? Frederick Buechner, defining the word meditation, writes, "In our minds, we're continually chattering with ourselves. The purpose of meditation is to stop it." He says, "To begin, we try to concentrate on a single object, perhaps the flame of a candle, or even our own breath. If we persist, we'll enter a state where we are conscious, but no longer conscious of anything in particular, where we have to let go of everything. The end of meditation is to become empty, empty enough to be filled with the kind of stillness that the psalmist writes, 'Be still and know that I am God.'" In Luke 5, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. I can only imagine the scene, the furor created among the crowds, drawing more and more attention onto Jesus. Luke tells us he withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. In Mark 6, after the disciples learn of the horrific beheading of John the Baptist, Jesus says to them, "Come away, be by yourselves to a lonely place, and rest a while." And they went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves. Again in Mark 6, after the disciples, again in Matthew 26, we are led to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus seeks solitude and goes to be alone. He says, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." For it is in this private space where Jesus is both vulnerable and intimate with the Father, questioning, but in the end, surrendering to the will of the Father. For many years in our ministry at Urban Promise, we've taken students into the wilderness to be still, no cell phones, no place to plug anything in. Nighttime hikes under the stars where we only listen, silence, only the sounds of our movement and the stirrings of the night forest. Walks onto a frozen glacial lake where we lie down and we place our ear to the frozen surface. We listen to the sounds of the groaning monolithic sheet of ice. Listen to the crackling sounds of a campfire on the beach at Assateague under a marmalade sky of stars as waves crash upon the shore. Listening to the world around us and the voices within. I have a hard time multitasking, so my slides sometimes don't catch up, but as I had shared, give me a little grace. Some years ago, I was on a cable television program called Red Letter Christians, hosted by Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne. I was interviewed about the work we're doing with Urban Promise and getting young people outdoors and building boats. And I was sharing stories of adventure and travel when Tony stopped me and he said, "I'm an old-time Bible-teaching preacher, and is any of this leading to winning young people over to Jesus Christ and accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior?" He spits at you when he talks. Have you ever been around Tony? Yeah. Over the years, well, let me backtrack for a minute. So my answer was absolutely yes. But it's not where I start. Because after a 10-mile hike on the Appalachian Trail with 30 pounds on your back, or toiling in the boat shop for several hours, sanding a boat, those are the times. Those are the quiet times, the quiet places where we share. We share what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We share what our faith means to us. It's those moments that are quiet. It's in those moments of solitude, quiet times of reflection, times to be still under the stars or on top of a mountain. Now, the culminating experience for many of our graduating seniors at the Urban Promise Academy is their rites of passage. Just before their graduation, we go into the wilderness, a 6-day hiking and paddling experience. It's called their rites of passage in the Adirondack Mountains. We leave them for 24 hours with a tent, a sleeping bag, a little bit of food, a journal, and a flashlight. And it's that time when they are still. And I'll never forget, you know, one of the students came off the island, and the first thing she said to me was, "Oh my God, Mr. C, all I could do was think." And I smiled. Now, when we leave them on the island, they have three assignments, one of which they're to journal, reflection, self-discovery of what it is in their lives that has made them strong and resilient, what it is that holds them back. Finding an object on the island is the assignment. Finding an object that they are required to symbolize, to have symbolized what it is they want to let go of. Because the night they come off the island, they're going to toss that into the fire at their ceremony. Another mission they have, an assignment, is to write a mission statement on an index card, what their life's purpose is to be about. And lastly, the third assignment is they have to write a letter to themselves, to their present self, imagining that they're 50 years old, and what would they share about the advice of moving forward in life? These are experiences, these are times of being still. And what we've done at Urban Promise, we've decided we're not going to let the culture define what it means to be an adult. Scripture, God's creation, will be the defining of their passage into adulthood. What we've discovered is our young people have grown up to be the most resilient, some of the most powerful young people God could ever imagine. They have found their purpose in God's creation and the ability to be all that God created them to be. They've learned to be still. Now, from building boats and planning a trip into the wilderness, I know my staff and I sometimes struggle to be still. But because someone years ago said to me, "Jim, do you know the names of the trees? Do you know the names of the birds that are among us?" I learned to find my place to be still. I want to go back to that quote of John Muir to finish my message with you today. "I only went for a walk, and I finally concluded to stay outside till sundown. For going out, I found I was really going in." Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this wonderful day and all of the promise and all of the possibilities that each and every day offers. We thank you for this season and for all of the wonders of creation. We give thanks for family, for friends, for our church, for our community, for the faithful love and generosity that this fellowship has given to Urban Promise all these years. Lord, we thank you for all these things, for it is you that we love. Amen.